Started the throw-in Northwest London, Tuesday, 23rd of Shvat, 25th of January, Rabbi Yonah St. Hughes, Hubs, Ladders, and Divine Intervention. This week's Torah has been sponsored by Family Moravetsky, Lenishmas Moras, Chava Bas, Ramod Chaneh, Ole HaSholom, and by Family Wiesenfeld, Lenishmas Moras, Chava Devera Bas, Simply Israel Dick, Ole HaSholom. His yard title will be on Thursday, and the Nishmas Rabbi Yitzchok Ben Rabbi Yaakov Wiesenfeld of Ron of Rachel, whose yard title will be on Shabbos.
Thank you for all the introductions I've heard said about myself. That one was certainly the most recent. I just want to share with you Torah that I've been privileged to hear or to read. So I want to share it with you. This week's Parasha Mishpatim. Makei ish bomeis mois yumos. Someone who intentionally kills another person is put to death. Then the Pasuk says, Va'asher lo tzodo. But if he didn't do it by design, Vaho Elohim in liyodoi, and Hashem placed it in his hand, I will assign for you a place to flee, the Ori Miklot. The Torah states that there's a difference between intent and negligence or recklessness. If you kill someone b'shoigeg, you don't get the Chiyuv Misa. You go to the Ori Miklot. But you do have some criminal culpability because of your negligence, but you didn't intend to kill the guy. So you have this halfway house of going to Golas, the Ori Miklot. The Mishnah in Makkos teaches that someone who kills B'shoigeg will only be sent to Golas on one condition. That at the time of the accident, when the cause of death was set in motion, he was travelling in a downward motion. Derech Nefila. Based on the Pasuk, Vayapel Allah. Derech Nefila. Your body has to be travelling in a downward motion at the time of the accident to be chayav to go to Golas. If you're going away from trouble, if you're going upwards, you don't go to Golas. So the Mishnah in Makkos exemplifies this crucial Tanai with several scenarios. One involves a man climbing down a ladder, and the Loshon is Yoyred Basulom, and then a rung of the ladder breaks, causing him to fall on top of the victim below and killing him. And this precipitates the penalty, the Oynish of Golas. However, if the killer was going up, Oyla Basulom, the Mishnah says, well, if he slips on the way up, he's potter from Golas. Simple condition. This is not controversial. Now the Gemara explains, why is it that you have to be going in a downward direction at the time of the accident to be chayav to go to Golas? And when you're going derech Aliyah and not derech Nefilah, you're potter from Golas. So the Gemara seems to say, it's from Vayapel Olov, so it's a Gezeiras HaKosav, the Torah just says, you have to be going down. The Rambam in Hilchos Ritzeiach, Perek Vov Halacha Yudbeis, in Mishnah Torah, provides a svara as to why you're chayav Golas when you're going down at the time of the accident. And he says that something or someone who is descending is more likely to cause damage because it's the teva of a heavy object to gather downward pace. Move over Yitzhak Newton, who came 600 years later, with the theory of gravity. The Rambam was always already talking about this concept 600 years previously. And therefore, if a person doesn't take sufficient care on the way down, b'derech nefila, then he's deemed to be reckless or negligent. You're chayav golas. You deserve this penalty of golas. In contrast, if you're ascending, if you're going b'derech aliyah at the time of the accident, you're moving away from danger, simply speaking. And then the resulting accident lacks that crucial element of culpability, and that's why you're potter. That's the Rambam's explanation for the psak in the Mishnah in Makkah Zion Amud Beis as to why you only chayv galus b'derech nefila. It is a posuk vayapel olav. There's also a svara. If you're going towards trouble, if you're going in the derech of gravity, then that means you should take more care, because things that are going down tend to go down quickly. Now the Torah, we go back to our posuk, the Torah describes such a scenario. Let's say if someone going down a ladder and they slip on a rung and they fall and they kill someone. That scenario is a reitzeach b'shoigeg, a murderer, a killer who does it inadvertently, and describes it as v'asher loy tzodo, as we said, he didn't plan on it. V'ho eloy kim ino liyodoy. Hashem places this death and this killing in the hand of the shoigeg. A divinely orchestrated fatality. And this indicates that sometimes Hashem deliberately causes a person's death by a human agency. Why? Why would Hashem, how odd of God, to place death and murder in the hands of an individual who wasn't intending to? I understand if you're negligent, and if you are reckless, then you deserve punishment. But Hashem places it in your hands. Why would Hashem place a person's death in someone else's hands? And this always fascinated me. I wanted to know why. Why is it that Hashem arranges some people to kill other people? So, Rashi. This is where it gets exciting. This is where, on a rare occasion, I genuinely jump out of my seat and am mesmerized by one word in Rashi. The Godol HaMafarshim, according to the Meiri. Look it up, and look at all the sources I'm about to tell you, and you will have a hanor, guaranteed. If you don't get it, you can have your money back. So Rashi on this posuk, Boho Elohim ino liyodoy. He cites a mechilta, midrash, which is actually quoted in the Gemara in Makkos, Yud Amud Beis, which refers to Tehillim, Dovid HaMelech, Moshe HaKadmoini. There's a bit of introduction there. And then Rashi, citing this midrash, and the midrash is saying, the mechilta says, from where do we know the concept that we see in Tanakh, in Shmuel? Merashoyim teitzei resha. From wicked people comes forth wickedness. And the Mechilta ascribes that concept to our Pasuk in Mishpatim, Vo Elokim ino liyodoy. God placed the death in his hands, in his hand. To what is it referring? And the Mechilta says that there's a story behind this, that Merashoyim teitzei resha, sometimes an evil people, an evil act comes out, refers to the following scenario. There were two people, one who killed b'shoigeg, the other person killed b'ratzon. He was a reitzeach, he was a murderer b'mezid. But there were no edim. So no one got their just deserts. The one who killed b'shoigeg doesn't get sentenced to golus because there was no one to testify and based in that he did this. And the one who killed Bemezid, also there are no edim. So he goes and walks off scot-free and he doesn't get Nisus based in. But Hashem knows what's going on. He sees everything. So no one was executed. No one was sent to the Ori Miklot. So Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mazmin Lepundek Echad. He brings them to a pub. I don't know exactly where the pub is or where the pub was. He brings them to some sort of inn or hotel. The one who killed Bemezid finds himself sitting under a ladder outside the pub, probably. Maybe they were practicing social distancing, so he was outside the pub, sitting at the foot of this ladder. And the one who killed B'shoigeg, and Rashi's quoting this midrash, the one who killed B'shoigeg last time now is Oila B'sulam. He goes up the ladder. And he falls on the one who killed intentionally, who was the Reitzeach Bemezid before, and now he kills him. This time there are Edim, so the Shoigeg now has Edim. He gets sentenced to the Ori Mikdot where he should have gone anyway because of last time. And the one who deserved Mises Basedin now gets his just deserts and is killed at the foot of the ladder. Is Gabal Miskada. So everything comes about in a just fashion. The result is pure justice. The amazing thing about this Rashi is it just jumped out on the page. I think at the time I was in Yeshiva in Yerushalayim and I was learning Makkos, and therefore this when you're in the Sugya, one word makes a difference and you see it clearly. Rashi, when he describes the pub scenario, says that the one, that the Reitzeach, who is then going to fall on the one below, the one who killed Bemezid the first time, he is Oyla Basilom, and then he falls. Now the Mishnah, as I mentioned some moments ago, tells us a very important Tanai, that you only chayiv when you're Yoyred. Now this person is about to be sent to Golus for Shoigeg. So he was going for Derech Aliyah, not Derech Nefila. So he should be Potter from Golus.
He definitely fell down,
but Rashi says he's Oyla Basilom. And I would agree with you. But you could just say, what goes up must come down. What goes up must come down. And Rashi's just telling us, he's quoting the Mechilta. Rashi's telling us, the guy went up the ladder. And then he probably fell on the way down. The problem is, when you look up Makkos Yud Omid Beis, and please do, there, in the text of the Gemara, it quotes this Mechilta just like Rashi does, word for word, verbatim, with one difference. When it describes the Shoigig killer at that pub on the ladder, he says he was Yoyreid Basulon. He was going down the ladder at the time of the accident, which is exactly what you would expect, because it's in line with Halacha, it's in line with the Mishnah, it's in line with Chazal, and not deliberately going 180 degrees away from what the Torah is on this. So you could say Rashi's love Dafka, although we're supposed to love Dafka, but he's just love Dafka. Rashi says he was Oyla B'Solom. Okay, he means at the time he was Yoyreid B'Solom, but Rashi's just saying how he went up the ladder. But when you contrast this with the text in the Gemara, which is Mamari Chazal, it's the Mechilta. The text there clearly says, it's exactly the same story, with every word is exactly the same, apart from this one word, the crucial word. He says it was Yoyreid B'Solom. And Rashi seems to deliberately change this one word and says Oyla B'Solom instead. So this seemingly misrepresents the Halacha, and it's an absolute pella. Why would Rashi do that? I mean, he's quoting the Midrash anyway. Just quote it. And he quotes every other word exactly. So why change this crucial word from Oyla, from Yoyreid to Oyla? Now, the Sifsei Chachamim and the Sefer Mizrahi both opt for a rather love dafka approach. So there is precedent for this. And they say they can resolve this conundrum by concluding that, of course, Rashi means that when the killer fell, he was moving b'derech nefila. Shenemar v'yapel olov. What goes up must come down. Rashi merely refers to the fact that this person who was killed b'shoigeg and is now about to kill again b'shoigeg, he ascended the ladder so that it was possible for him to descend before falling. But I didn't feel satisfied with this, because how could you justify Rashi deviating from the text of the Mechilta as quoted in the Gemara Makkos Yud Omid Beis, especially when it risks portraying the wrong halacha? I mean, I can understand you have some sort of poetic license to change the citation that you are citing. And you're giving over this midrash, this mechilta verbatim, and you change one word for some poetic license. Maybe. But when you change a word and it violates the halacha, surely why would Rashi invest time in changing that word if it would send us the wrong message? And I wanted to find out if there is another pshat in this. And indeed there is. I think at the time, in Yerushalayim, when I first learned this, I don't know, 20 years ago, something like that, I was giving a Gurari Shir to newcomers to the yeshiva on a Thursday morning. And I saw in the Gurari, Maharal proffers an alternative and stunning explanation of Rashi. And I think you can see it from the words of Rashi, and I think that it has validity. The Gurari argues as follows. Rashi is not here to explain the halacha to us about you have to be going b'derech nefila, b'shas ma'isa to be chayav golus. Rashi is delivering pshat in the posuk. What's our posuk? V'ha'elokim ino liyodoi. Sometimes Hashem arranges it for someone to kill someone else. Mirashoyim teitzei resha. And therefore, what is the posuk telling us? The posuk is surely talking about how Hashem intervenes in our lives, in human affairs, and therefore Rashi's primary purpose is to provide the pshat. Just how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu place the death of another human being in someone else's hand? So Rashi came along and deliberately changed that one word in his quotation of the Mechilta in order to teach us that where Hashem gets involved and where he doesn't get involved. Where is the in on a yodoi? Where exactly does Hashem place it? How does Hashem arrange this? To what extent does he interfere in our lives? And so the Gurari, and this is embellished somewhat by me, but I think if you read the Gurari, that's how it comes across. He says that, of course, a person cannot be punished al pi ha-Torah without deserving it. There's a fundamental axiom of philosophy of the Ikri Hadas that a person cannot receive an Einesh if they don't deserve it. How do they deserve it? By choosing to do the wrong thing because of Bechira. Chofshis, free will. Hashem places it in his hand for Elohim in Eliyodoi. Is Hashem engineering the opportunity for the person to do the Aveira? Of course, this man was descending the ladder. He was Yoyreit B'Solom, as the Mechilta teaches, when he fell. But such halachic exactitude would detract from our understanding of the posuk. Of course, Rashi could have quoted the Mechilta accurately as it's portrayed in Matthew Yudomid Beis and tell us, Yoyreit B'Solom. Rashi changes the Lashon and says, Oyla B'Solom, to teach us to what extent Hashem intervenes. He's not here to teach us the halacha that you have to be going b'derech in the field of B'Shas Maisa. He's telling us to focus on the pshat in the posuk, the clarity of what does the posuk mean. Where does Hashem get involved? So Rashi's emphasizing that a person is certainly subject to Hashkocha Protis, the divine master plan, and he has loaded legs like loaded dice, or loaded die, Lashon Rabbim, that can carry you places. Sometimes you take a turn in the road, and you end up in a place you had no intention of being in. And sometimes you walk up a ladder outside a pub, and you have no idea what the consequences may be. Nevertheless, even though Hashem sends this person Oyla B'Solom, and that's how he gets involved, and that's the pshat in Ino L'Yodoi. For Elohim Ino L'Yodoi, Hashem sends him up the ladder. That's the divine intervention. That's where Hashem arranges and orchestrates this whole event. But you cannot be chayav golus or any punishment in the Torah without moral blameworthiness, without deserving it, without having made a free will choice of bechira chofshis and then being properly accountable for your actions. Hashem can never take away, unless you're paroi and you get your heart hardened. For most people, we have bechira. And therefore, we have to be morally blameworthy in order to be chayav golus. So of course, he was Yoyreit B'Solom. He was going in the derech of gravity at the time of the accident. And therefore, he should have taken more care. And therefore, it's fair that he's sentenced to golus, because he deserves golus. But what the Pasuk is teaching us and what Rashi is teaching us by changing one word in his quotation of that Mechilta from Yorid Basulam to Oyla Basulam is telling us that's where Bahalakim Yin Oliyodai. He sent him up the ladder. Because going up the ladder was not necessarily a Bechira Chachis choice. Whether I choose vanilla ice cream or chocolate ice cream, not sure if that is a free will choice. Most things in life are up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when it comes to averas and mitzvahs, to do the right thing or the wrong thing, that's where we're supposed to have complete freedom. In B'Tselem Elohim. What does it mean, B'Tselem Elohim? Hashem has no tselem. Einoy d'musa gufa, einoy guf. He has no tselem. So some of the mafashim say that it means that you have bechira. Just like Hashem is free to make his decisions, we've been given that divine gift of freedom. You can't be punished if you didn't make a free choice. So therefore, the Maharal argues, this is what's going on in Rashi. A person must make a free will choice to be watchful of his actions, and therefore it's axiomatic he wouldn't have gone to Dolus without deserving it. He's responsible for his descent, but his going up the ladder was an act of Hashem. So that's why Rashi changes that one word. And it's a stunning Rashi. With one word, he changes the entire Mechilta in order to fit in the Pshat in the Pasuk. Because his agenda here is not to tell us the halacha of going down. You have to be going down at the time of the Maisa. He's there to tell us what's the Pshat in the Pasuk. How does Hashem orchestrate death in the hands of other human beings? So I guess Hashem puts us in the position to test us, but doesn't remove our Bechira. Have you ever received money in error?
Unfortunately, not.
Right, unfortunately not. Right now you've got the Nisayon now. I've got to give the money back. No one will know. No one will be the wiser. Have you ever come across great milchiks when you're fleishik? Have you ever been in a position to overhear juicy lashon hara with impunity, and no one will see that you can hear them? That's oyla basulam. Hashem is mazmin. The Punduk Echo, he brings you to the pub, he brings you to the ladder. Or Hashem orchestrates the circumstances we find ourselves in, but we can only be chayev or rewarded if we choose to act on it. And we have to be at fault. You have to be Yoreid Basulon B'Shas Maisa, but Hashem brings you up the ladder in the first place. Meaning, the Maharal is telling us that you can deserve a Nisoyan based on your previous actions. This person killed B'Shoigeg the last time because he didn't take proper care, and now he's put in a position where he's tempted with that Nisoyan again. He's up on the ladder. Is he going to take care on the way down this time when he's going B'Derech HaGravity? So you have to be morally blameworthy to be punished. Hashem cannot take away your Bechira B'Derech Klal, unless you're an incredibly exceptional person, Kedanah. But we can only be punished if we choose to act on it. I remember when I was living in Hendon, way back in 2012, 10 years ago, and it was Hanukkah, and my little blonde 2-year-old, Ezra, is in our house, and someone came to the house, and whoever it was who was in the house, I'm not going to blame, like Adam Arishan, blamed his wife. She's talking to someone, and Ezra slips out the front door. He walks into the street. This is Southbourne Crescent, the paradise connecting the A1 and the North Circular. And Ezra, with his pre-Opshiran hair, goes into the night on Hanukkah. This man of Nissim, and there is a lady driving a car around the bend of Southbourne Crescent, and Ezra, oblivious, walks out into the night, into the road. Next thing, we hear a beep, and my wife answers the door, because this driver was carrying my son, and told us, I almost hit him. She She was only going slower than usual because she was looking for which house it was that she was supposed to go to. Therefore, when she turned the bend, she was going slowly. So in an act of absolute divine orchestration, where you could say there was some responsibility here, but these things happen all the time. That a child wanders to a place, you have no idea, they're wandering out of the house. And because of maybe, I don't know, because of the chus of Chanukah, Nisim, he was fine. Baruch Hashem. But sometimes we end up oyla basulam in life. We end up in a situation where we have responsibility. So I think that this Rashi is Moridic. That one change of that word from Yoyri to Oyla tells us the Pshat Voyalekim in on the Yodai. Hashem gets involved in our lives but cannot take away our freedom of choice, which is fundamental to why we exist in the first place. The whole world is here for us to choose to do the right thing or the wrong thing. That's the essence of free will. And maybe the justification why bad things happen to good people. Tzadik v'ra loy, because there have to be real consequences to our choices. Hashem should protect us all and give us a beautiful day. Thank you very much.
Okay.
No, but the audio didn't work either.